Would you be seated, please? Pay to all what is due them, says Paul, in just the verse preceding the reading we heard from Romans. Taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. And then he goes on, and here's where we came in. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Interesting, isn't it? You can pay off your student loan, maybe. That was for you, choir. You can retire your mortgage. You can show sufficient deference to the boss. In all these things, it is both possible and desirable to owe nothing. Love, on the other hand, if Paul is to be believed, is the one debt that we can never discharge. The claim of the other upon our hearts is total, and our obligation, and let me just use that very old-fashioned word, duty, is to spend our hearts in boundless loving. Now, St. Paul, of course, is not alone in thinking of love as something which could actually be required of us. Jesus beat him to it, for one, when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Or, this is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. A clause, I might add, which on reflection raises the stakes considerably, since the love of Jesus does not fall one heartbeat short of total self-sacrifice. Makes you a bit squirmy, doesn't it? Because on the one hand, if we are honest, we will admit that most of us don't find just everyone who saunters into the theater of our life all that lovable. Why, I even know one or two people who are positively obnoxious. But more than this, we have looked into our own hearts, and we find that they are, betimes, flabby, or perhaps even worse, flinty. And we wonder rightly if they are at all equal to the mandate which Christ has given them. But no matter, neither Christ nor his church is going to let us off the hook on this one. We are baptized into a community which will only admit those people who are prepared to vow, and I'm quoting, we don't do baptisms that often at this service, but I'm quoting from the baptism service, people who are prepared to say that they will seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving their neighbor as themselves. To love is an obligation that we incurred in our baptism when we were made one with God in Christ. Whether or not we feel like it, whether or not we are good at it. So then, are we between the proverbial rock and a hard place here? Or is there some way forward for us? I have to say that I myself am much helped by the marriage rite. Not a bad place to go looking when you want to know something about the practice of love. And I'm thinking particularly of the so-called declaration of consent, what we used to call the betrothal. You know it well because this is the part that passes for marriage in the movies. The priest asks the groom and then the bride in her turn, you know, tiddlywinks, will you give yourself to Jane to be her husband, to love her, comfort her, honor and protect her, and forsaking all others to be faithful to her so long as you both shall live? And the bride and the groom answer in turn, not what the movies do, not I do, never I do. They're wrong. Which may be a terrific description of the sentiments of the moment, but takes absolutely no account of what happens when she discovers that he burps at dinner parties and he finds out that she leaves her stockings soaking in the bathroom sink. The answer to the question is not, I do, but I will. It implies that a choice is required, a daily choosing of the other, joy by joy, and yes, grievance by grievance. That kind of love is an act of the will. And such is love. It is to opt for the other deliberately. And you may be saying, but what about our feelings? What if I don't feel loving towards you? How can that be love? And it's a great question. I am sure that we agree that the ideal is that we should both feel and practice love towards each other. Or put another way, that we should like the people that we love. But I submit that that kind of love is easy. For Jesus to command something that's already easy would be a little like commanding Canon Sue House's dog to wag its tail. You don't have to tell Cooper to wag his tail. He just does. Jesus, and the same goes for Paul after him, doesn't waste his breath commanding us to do what comes naturally. It's precisely the thing that makes loving hard for us. That is, our rebellious feelings that necessitates a stern word about duty. Now, I am fully aware of the dangers of manipulating or suppressing our feelings, of driving a wedge between what we really feel and what we're willing to admit that we feel. So there's lots of room there for pathology. But this said, I do think that we have sometimes gone way overboard in giving our feelings full rein, as if feelings were entirely morally neutral or completely outside our control. So, for example, if I feel belittled by you on some account, somehow that justifies my continuing antipathy towards you and my never-ending campaign to keep you off my little committee that I chair. I mean, that sort of thing is just pure self-indulgence. I want to suggest that what I feel about a thing depends at least in part on what I think about it. And what I think about a thing depends at least in part on what information I'm willing to take into consideration. My feelings are mine. I possess them. They don't possess me. A love which accords with our feelings, therefore, is at least sometimes more achievable than we dare to imagine. But even when it is not, and we must leave room always for sin and deep alienation. I'm sure we all have some corner like that in our lives. Even when it is not, love is not in the first instance something you feel. It's something you do. Just as courage is not really something you feel. It's almost always exercised in the teeth of fear. Courage is not to be unafraid, but rather to act with valor when you are scared witless. And so love is, sometimes, to act with benevolence, generosity, kindness, and self-donation in the grip of animosity. Does this sound unreasonable or impossible? I say to you that it is not. For as soon as you treat love as a duty or an obligation, good logic demands that such love is actually within our command, that I truly can decide to love you and do it. Were that not the case, we would have to conclude that God had made our friendship with Christ dependent upon a condition we have no hope of fulfilling, that we are doomed before we start. And what kind of a God would that be? No, if we are commanded by God to love one another, then God has placed within our hearts these broken, sinful, sometimes loveless hearts, the ability to do so. The very baptism which demands the practice of love has grafted us into the source of all love, God in Christ. So, to return again and to quote Paul, pay to all what is due them. Owe no one anything except to love one another and believe that you can. Amen.